This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
We are working closely with our federal and local partners to make sure our communities have all the resources they need. Yesterday, President Trump approved my request to declare a pre-landfall emergency for the entire state of Florida, which freed up much-needed federal funding and assistance as we prepare for Irma.
All right, that was Rick Scott, the governor of Florida. And, of course, as you see what's bearing down on them, it is incredibly scary. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I like to say we're at the crossroads of whatever's happening, the buzz in the land. And the buzz in the land is, you got to be kidding me, on the heels of what we saw, the flooding that we saw in Houston, the damage, the wind damage in Rockport, Texas, the horrible scenes of homes being ripped to rubble. And I'll tell you what, they're saying there's significant damage in Puerto Rico. Looking at pictures from Puerto Rico, and it is a nightmare. In San Juan, no power for about 900,000 people. They talk about the fact that there were no reports of immediate injuries, but, you know, that's the digging through everything. It was pretty tossed around. There were outer bands of the storm that whipped heavy rain through the island, water gushing into parking lots and side buildings, and any seaside neighborhoods just dealt with a ton of water, which they knew. The front of the hotels, they say it was just walls of water smashing into it. And some of the later words that we've heard of Irma is the intensity, 180 miles an hour. That's what we're talking about. The wind speeds. Also, the core spinning about 85 miles northwest of San Juan. And in the meantime, it's a question of where does it go from here? In the U.S. Virgin Islands, the governor there ordered a 36-hour curfew. The storm is going to move either over a place that I spent some time in, Turks and Caicos, and trust me, there's water everywhere there. That's a slip of an island. Catastrophic damage likely is what they're saying. It's also going to pass just north of the Dominican Republic, and Haiti, and they're talking about possible floods and mudslides, and what does it do to the U.S.? And where does it land as it chums near the Florida's coast? They're saying now East Coast by late Sunday. The core could still hit Florida. And the governor is saying heed any evacuation orders. A storm surge could cover your house. And he said, we can rebuild homes. We cannot rebuild your family. Which is so true. And I know a lot of Floridians were trying to get out thinking maybe I should just fly out. But flights are busted. I mean, the flights to New York, flights to nearby cities capped out. And one thing that happened is the big airlines started to slash prices to help people get out of Florida. And so, of course, it was massively catch as catch can. JetBlue reduced any remaining seats in their markets there to anywhere from $99 to $150. American Airlines, same thing. They capped their flights at $100, and Delta said they wouldn't charge more than $399 for seats. And they're just trying to move.
With a power outage of our own here at, in the plush studios, nowhere near the hurricane-ravaged places that I've been talking about, especially what we're seeing from the model as I was talking about. I was mentioning, of course, the wildfires, too, in Oregon along the southern coast, how frightening it is to look at it. It's one of the largest wildfires that we're seeing. It was described by somebody as being completely overwhelming in Montana. Same thing near Montana's border with Canada. They've got an incredible fire that's going on. And in California, of course, we're seeing what's happening in California. 20 huge fires burning across the state, one outside of Yosemite, another one that burned a bunch of homes in Los Angeles. There was a big Labor Day weekend fire. I have friends that live near this, the suburb of Burbank, and just burned 1,400 homes, which is burned near 1,400 homes, rather. And they say they're not really out of the woods, pardon the pun, at this moment, too. And in Northern California, same thing. So we've got a lot of Mother Nature happening, whether it's the hurricane bearing down toward Florida or whether it's these wildfires or recovering from the floods in Houston. It has been just a crazy, really, couple of weeks. And in the meantime, there's been a lot of people that have been donating, especially you look at the charities for Harvey, and even the president donated $1 million to 12 Harvey relief charities himself, giving it to the Humane Society or Habitat for Humanity or others. Hang with us. More coming your way next here on ATM with me, Kate Delaney.
Addicted. A friend. Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this. Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Our painful tax system has become a massive barrier to America's economic comeback. It really is. We're penalized. It costs us millions of American jobs, trillions of dollars, and billions of hours wasted on paperwork and on compliance.
Trump's talking about the tax situation. He gets ready in the next couple of weeks to unveil something that he's been working on for a while. And, of course, I do agree. I mean, we've talked about tax reform forever on this show, especially in a couple of different arenas, whether it's personal or, you know, so just the tax code in general, or whether we're talking about, if we take it even one step further, which this isn't necessarily what the president's talking about, but talking about corporate taxation and reducing that and encouraging companies to stay in the U.S. and not do so much business overseas. But this is about your taxes and mine. The president said he would get into great detail in the next couple of weeks on this tax reform, which there really haven't been very many specifics. There have been a lot of discussions about it. And at a speech in North Dakota, he listed his principles for tax reform, and mostly they came down to simplifying the U.S. tax code and providing tax relief to the middle class, something that he was talking about since the election, since the campaign. The U.S. stock market, even if you remember, rallied on hopes of some tax cuts for businesses especially. So we'll see where all of this heads. The Treasury Secretary, who was with the president on the trip, said he expected the administration's tax plan to be considered by congressional committees later in the month. So that's pretty fast. That means they must have this all pulled together. And they talk about the Big Six team. So there's a bunch of economic advisors that apparently are involved in this and weighing in on how this would work and how do you get comprehensive permanent tax reform. So, you know, we'll see. I think I keep saying that, but to me, tax reform is bipartisan because I don't think there's very few people that say, no, my taxes are excellent. I totally get it. It totally makes sense to me. I'm not getting ripped off. I don't feel like I'm overpaying. I don't feel like this is wrong with
my tax bracket. So I love the idea of reform, but let's see what it looks like. I want to jump back to Irma because, you know, you've got the people listening to us in Florida and some of you just aghast at what you're seeing on the tube or what you're listening to, which we've been providing you that, and so have many of the other people on your favorite radio stations. But Florida folks really have picked over store shelves. There's long lines at the gas pumps. There's no question about that. Because when you talk about Irma and you're saying it could be a Cat 5, and it is right now, when you have these 185-mile-an-hour winds, that's crazy. And think of Miami, the metropolitan area, has 6 million people. That's a lot. And then you think of the other tentacles of what it could mean. So like Florida farmers, because you've got $1.5 billion worth of crops there, from everything from peaches, which is very big in Florida now, to oranges, which are still big, but not as big as they used to be, and all kinds of other vegetables and fruits, too, that would be right in the middle of this. And then you've got something like a football game, of all things, because you have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who were supposed to play the Dolphins, and that game was moved. They both have the same, both teams have the same bye week, so they're going to have to play 16 straight games. They're off this week, and they're going to move the game to November 19th. If they move it to February, they'd be in the Super Bowl. So that'd be a whole different story and tough to explain. But no, that's what's going to happen. And while we talk about the damage from the flooding, in Houston, you look at Irma's damage, and they're predicting, because of what we're seeing right now, that it could hit $130 billion. You got to put a price tag on it because you're asking for relief, which is exactly what the governor did. So Irma, as it goes in whatever direction it's going to end up going, and especially if it's, it's not going to be a slow motion kind of flood like Harvey. I mean, this is a flat out hurricane. And that's what's scary, because a lot of the people that live in Florida, some of them anyway, the older people, remember what Andrew was like and how devastating Andrew was. And if you don't know, whatever your favorite search engine is, type in Hurricane Andrew, and it is frightening to see. I mean, I've described some pretty horrific things that I've seen, and when we've had mass disaster, what it looks like. But I have never seen anything like Andrew. It was everything and more that they described. And this looks to be worse. If it were to hit at its height and what we're seeing in these computer models, it'd be very tough to survive it, and it'd be very tough to pick up the pieces from it. And in a much different way than what we saw with Houston, but still the result is the same. The disaster is the same, and it's scary, incredibly scary to think of people making these life and death decisions about where do I go and how do I get there, and okay, now we just need to do it, and now we can't find anywhere to go, and you know that it's, and can we afford to go, and are we still working? And that's also part of the big problem. It's the affordability and where am I going, and if I'm battening the hatches, how safe am I, and what about water and food, and shelves are picked clean, and what about gas? And you know, there's just a myriad of questions that surround decisions that are being made for families as to whether they dig in and stay, and should they? Are they on the other coastline on the west where you might be okay, you're listening to me there? Are you in Orlando or someplace more in the middle of Florida, and are you safe there? And it's really scary, I have to say, and it's incredibly scary to look at it. I'm going to jump quickly to something else because besides tax reform, the president also has his hands full in another direction. There was a meeting with the Democrats today, and the president sided with the Dems. He got them to come up to the Oval, and they played Let's Make a Deal. So the president added on a three-month extension of the U.S. debt limit and government spending to a hurricane relief bill, over the arguments of the GOP, who were really pushing for a longer debt extension. So Trump, after meeting with congressional leaders, in the Oval told reporters on the Air Force One that the deal with the Dems would be very good. He said, we agreed to a 3-month extension on that debt ceiling, which they consider to be sacred, very important. We'll always agree on debt ceiling automatically because of the importance of it. In the meantime, Senator Mitch McConnell told reporters he'll add the spending and debt limit extensions to the Harvey relief package passed by the House earlier in the day, but he said he will support the measure. So you had hours earlier, the Speaker of the House, though, Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, who was in the meeting with Trump, he told reporters that the Democratic proposal was unworkable and ridiculous. So now that sets up a crazy kind of fight. We're going against, you know, he's going against his own party. And the agreement sets up what could be a big one in December, because you'll have a fight in December over government funding and Trump's proposed border wall with Mexico and the decision to end a program that lets undocumented immigrants stay in the U.S. and then probably the debt ceiling. So there's a lot that'll have to be dealt with in December. So by pushing it off, it does push off major decisions, but it also piles them up and stacks them up, like 747s waiting to take off at LaGuardia in New York. And that, to some, seems almost unfathomable, because how do they can't get anything done, let alone have some kind of bipartisan agreements on some of this. And that's what it is. That's where it's headed. It's going to be either let's make a deal or we're dealing with big problems again. The House, by the way, passed $7.4 billion for a federal disaster relief fund on Wednesday, 2 days before it was set to run out. The measure passed pretty easily, 419-3, and it would provide relief to tens of thousands of homeowners from flooding caused by Harvey in Texas and other parts of the Gulf Coast. And the Democrats are, the House bill, H.R. 3672, met a White House request for that money in the disaster funds for the Federal Emergency Management Agency and $450 million in funding for the Small Business Administration. FEMA funding gets provided later, and there's some worries over FEMA. And the FEMA coffers being drained, especially when we see what's happening in Florida. Forbes Books at Bedtime, coming up around the bend.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that will be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Well, we're very excited to be joined by Ruth Hedges. Think of Global Crowdfunding Convention in Vegas. I love Vegas. I used to live there, and this is the perfect place for it, right? At the end of October, actually 2 days in October, October 23rd and 24th, and big news as far as Global Crowdfunding Convention is concerned, because they've hooked up with Microsoft, but we'll get to that in a second. First, we need to start from the very beginning. Ruth, thanks so much for popping on with us here at Forbes Books at Bedtime. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for inviting me. This is really exciting stuff.
So tell us, for people who don't know, let's talk about crowdfunding.
Sure.
The beginnings of it, everything.
So actually, the Statue of Liberty was crowdfunded. They did not have. Yes, it was. It's absolutely true. They did not have any place to put it, so they had to crowdfund.
We got the statue.
We got the statue.
What should we do with
really,
it?
Really, they didn't have. And it was going to cost $125,000 of a concrete and whatever else they built to put this on. And so they put an ad in the newspaper. And people gave pennies and nickels and dimes till they came up with $125,000. And that was a lot of, that's millions of dollars in today's dollars.
Right, right.
But that was some of the first crowdfunding.
So the early days of crowdfunding, now we leap forward to now, and that's like a buzzword. You like have your own vocabulary when it comes to crowdfunding.
We do.
How big, let's talk about the impetus for it. How did this all start?
So when the internet came into play, we had a way to communicate with a large group of people about causes and about innovation and things that before we would have to meet face-to-face to do. So the technology really helped push crowdfunding. But then there were some people who created the platforms like Kickstarter, Indiegogo, GoFundMe were the three big ones that came out initially. And then there was actually one of the platforms that most people don't know about. It's called Artist Share, and it was in before Kickstarter and Indiegogo, and it was for musicians. And in 2003, They launched Artist Share to help musicians fund their music because the...
2003?
2003.
So... 10 years before
the Kickstarter. Well, Kickstarter is about 2008, so it was really 5 years, let's say.
I am going to interrupt you to tell one on myself. I was at a startup event in New York and met the founders of Kickstarter. They were pitching,
right?
And I walked away and I thought, that's the stupidest.
Oh my God, you did not really.
I did not say can I invest. It was very early on. I mean, they were just working on the vocabulary and the. But before you knew what it was such an insane idea that it really didn't make sense until it made sense.
Until it made sense, yeah. And then it just on Artist Share, they've had 29 artists, musicians, nominated for a Grammy, and 10 of them won Grammy Awards.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Do you realize this music would have never existed without crowdfunding? And they are Grammy-quality music. Yeah. This is unbelievable.
You would have had to go to their house and know to knock on their garage door.
Right. Wow. Exactly. Yeah.
Crazy. That's fantastic.
In monetary terms, I mean, the money has to be off the charts. I always say it's what your wow. Where are we as far as that's concerned, Ruth?
So when I first... did my first convention in 2012. We're doing our sixth global crowdfunding convention this year. The entire industry in the whole world was $1.7 billion. Last year was $65 billion. Yeah. It was more than venture capital funding. More than venture capital funding.
Well, and there's another piece to this that I think is important. Of that, say the number again, how many billions?
65.
65 billion. What percentage is the thing people think of when they think of crowdsourcing, which is Kickstarter?
Well, it's not crowdsourcing. Crowdsourcing is a different thing.
Okay.
This is crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding,
right.
I mean. But I think when people hear a number like that and this conversation, they think Kickstarter. So I think one of the things we need to do is explain the difference just for starters.
Right, sure. So there are three kinds of crowdfunding. There is... what is called donation or cause-related crowdfunding. Everybody knows GoFundMe.
Yes.
Katrina, the Boston bombing, medical causes, $750 million on GoFundMe alone is for medical causes. Then you have people that are just, you know, college tuition. People crowdfund tuition all the time. They crowdfund anything you can possibly think of. That's donation or cause-related crowdfunding. The second kind is called reward crowdfunding. There are several thousand platforms in every language, in every country in the world today where you can crowdfund. It's not just Kickstarter and Indiegogo anymore. There are huge platforms now in China, in Italy, in France, you name it. There's crowdfunding everywhere in the world today. And that's mostly based on reward crowdfunding, where you have a prototype for an idea, a product, and you don't have the money for the inventory. So you go to the crowd and you say, hey, look, if you help me with some upfront money, I will give you one of these right off, you know, when we get it manufactured, for below the manufactured suggested retail price.
Maybe it's signed by Sting, or there's a party.
Right.
Or, I mean, it's a reward.
It's a reward. Yeah. But in many cases, it's the thing that is the reward.
Right.
It's not
that's
the baseball cap and the T-shirt that's really
that's
compelling people.
It's
that thing. Yeah. I want the drone.
The
I want the 3D.
Cooler where the guy wanted
cooler.
To make $100,000 and got
$10
million in funding.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow,
yes.
So you have to have a favorite story. I know that's hard, but what's your favorite story to come out of now going into your 6 years? Of somebody getting funding?
Well, there's so many of them because I'm obviously immersed in this.
Yeah.
I'm, you know,
oh, yeah.
It's like I have a computer chip of stuff. there is a couple of them. One is in January just this year, a board game called Monster 1.5 crowdfunded $1 million in 19 minutes.
Whoa.
And then went on to crowdfund $5 million in the first 48 hours.
Holy smokes.
There is
who's the creator?
It's a game company.
Okay.
I don't have
so
the name.
So it's somebody with
a
background.
Yes,
in
it's
game.
A game, okay. And it's a board game with creatures.
Okay. So it's not even it's not gaming.
No, it's not gaming.
Digital.
It's an actual board, like a Monopoly kind of board game. And then there's Flowhive, which was this one blew my mind. They were trying to raise $150,000 for a box that taps into a tree, and or into a beehive or something, and you get honey. And they raised $12 million. They were trying to raise $150,000.
Wow.
They raised $12 million in 30 days.
So what do you attribute that to? Stop for a second. What do you attribute that to? They knew how to tell their story. People were excited about it. It has to be part about the pitch has to be good.
So this is why I put the convention on every year, and this is why I also have a software that helps people understand. You cannot set it and forget it. You cannot build it and they will come. It is a real serious process. It's like applying for a grant, right? If you apply for a grant, you have to fill out a lot of forms and you have to go through a process. Even if you want to go after venture capital funding, how many people go on a roadshow, travel the country? That's a process. They have to get prepared. They have to have a business plan and they have to do all these things. Crowdfunding has a list of things too. And if you don't do them, you will not raise a dime.
Yes.
And even though I can sit here and name hundreds of campaigns that have been extremely successful, I can list thousands of campaigns that have failed miserably.
And maybe somebody gets lucky once in a while because they don't do what you prescribe.
Exactly.
But if you want to do it in a smart, strategic way,
you have to have a killer video, yeah, and you have to have great social footprint. People have to be able to Google
you. Social media is everything.
And know that you are a thought leader in whatever it is you're doing. Write some blog articles. Get some press. For example, I have been in Forbes 7 times. I've been either interviewed or quoted on crowdfunding in your magazine for, you know, a long time. And that matters, you know.
Right.
One of the things I want to go back to, so say the name of the honey product again.
Flowhive.
Flowhive. Mm-hmm. They wanted to raise $150,000. They raised $12 million. I want to make sure everyone listening understands that when they raised that $12 million, if they had gone to VCs, they would have given up 30, 50, 70% of their company. This $12 million, they sold product and still own 100% of the company. They didn't sell the company. They sold the product. And that is, I think, one of the most transformational things about this form of funding.
It is. But let me just say, as one of the pioneers of the securities-based crowdfunding, which is now legal to be able to raise money, giving people equity in a company, there was a company called Oculus Rift.
Of course.
Do you remember Oculus? Okay, so they raised $2.5 million on Kickstarter, and then they were bought up for $1 billion.
Right.
And the people, there were 900 people who gave them 9,000 people who gave them $300 so they could have a pair of the 3D glasses when they manufactured them. Those people would have gotten a $40,000 return on that $300 investment.
All right. Well, I take back what I said about the... I get it.
A year and a half later...
Had they invested...
Had that $300...
And the company would have got their
and
funding.
And the company would have still gotten the funding.
Yes.
And they could have bought themselves a whole lot of glasses for $40,000.
So this really addresses, in part, the qualified investor problem. I mean, startups
Everyone in this room is a angel investor. They just don't know it.
Yes.
You don't have to be accredited investor anymore.
Accredited investor.
You don't have to have a net worth of $1 million or an income of $200,000 for 2 years in a row to be considered an investor in a startup business plan. Before these laws were passed, there was only 8.7 million people in the entire country that were eligible to invest. Meanwhile, you have 240 million other people who have a lot of discretionary money because we spent $1 trillion on Christmas this year. We hit $1 trillion the first time.
It also meant, and this is what made me crazy about the qualified, is the term qualified investor?
Yeah.
What made me crazy about it is if your next door neighbor created the new Facebook and you believed in it and you wanted to invest... Before crowdsourced equity came along, if you didn't have enough wealth, the government said,
you can't
invest. Sorry, you may have picked the best. You could not take any of your money and put it in because the law forbade it. And that, to me, was tragic.
It was tragic because we are sitting on the wealthiest country in the world with so much I live in Las Vegas. Look at all the people that walk into a casino, put money on a craps table, a slot machine. Nobody cares how much they spend. But when it comes to investing, the government feels like they have to get in the middle of this and protect all of us from losing our shirts.
Ruth, hold that thought. We're going to continue our conversation with Ruth Hedges, CEO and founder of Global Crowdfunding Convention, on our next edition of Forbes Books at Bedtime.
Are you tired of paying fees and commissions to that other site? I know you are. And I'm here to tell you about a great alternative to sell your stuff. BuySellMakeOffer.com is the best-selling site to ever come along. It doesn't matter what you're selling, big or small, it's easier than ever. And you can use Skype to show your items and get to know your potential buyer, and they can see that you are for real. No more blind trust. And you're not limited to snapshots. You can video what you're selling to better sell it fast. For as little as $9.95, and that's after a free 30 days, you can sell everything you no longer want with absolutely no fees, ever. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and become part of a community of buyers and sellers who have already discovered this revolutionary way of getting it sold online. That's BuySellMakeOffer.com. You'll never regret making the switch. BuySellMakeOffer.com. So, what are you waiting for?
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
You want to save money in a place that gives you growth, control, and certainty without stock market risk or tax risk, and you want guarantees, and you want it all tax-free. That's a tall order. But you can get all of that with properly designed participating whole life insurance. Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But you can have tax-free access to use your life insurance while you're alive. Get the free book to find out how. Call 702-660-7000.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do
it? We talk about marijuana a lot and where we're headed with it, you know, the push pull over legalization. So it's so interesting to bring onto the show Ray Blanco, who is a marijuana stock analyst, and he's also the author of Penny Pot Profits. It's a newsletter that's incredibly popular. And, you know, you think about some of the directions we're going in with marijuana, including New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, who announced this new bill to make marijuana legal nationwide. So basically that removes pot from the list of controlled substances, legalizes it at the national level, and then, of course, would encourage states to legalize it through various incentives. And there's a whole bunch that would go along with that. Thank you so much, Ray, for popping on the show.
Great to be here.
So here's my question. Well, first of all, Cory Booker doing that is controversial, you know that. But what do you think people are missing about marijuana? People that want to block it, that think it's just wrong and, oh my gosh, it's the gateway to so many other evils. What don't they understand, would you say, about marijuana?
Well, I think they don't understand that the best data we have available points to this being a very bad policy. Why? Well, you know, marijuana has been overhyped and just whole fear, uncertainty, and doubt about it as a gateway drug. But the data that we have shows that it reduces the use of the really bad drugs, the opioid drugs and cocaine and things like that. You know, the states that have legalized, we've even seen a reduction in teen use, like in Colorado. There's less teen use of marijuana than there was when it was illegal. So, I guess there may be a forbidden fruit factor involved, you know, when something, you're not allowed to do something, you're curious to try it, you know how kids are. But then, you know, opioids, you know, just, let's not even talk about the street stuff like heroin and all that. Let's just talk about the stuff that your doctor prescribes you. You know, if you have back pain or knee problems, you know, in the United States, between 15 and 20,000 people will die this year from addiction to these prescription opioids. They'll take too much and they'll die. And the number of people that end up in emergency rooms is several times higher than that, that, you know, don't end up dying, but they've overdosed. Well, marijuana is making a dent in that in these states. People that have chronic pain conditions, instead of taking opioids, they're taking cannabinoids, right?
Right.
And cannabis is way safer. I've never heard of a single case of somebody dying from a marijuana overdose. So they're managing their pain. They're not getting addicted, because marijuana isn't addictive like opioids are. You know, it's not physically addictive to anywhere near the same extent. Now, anything can be psychologically addicting, you know. You can psychologically get addicted to anything. People get addicted to gambling, and that's not even a drug at all. But it's not physically addicting like opioids, and it isn't dangerous like opioids are. So, you know, the argument to maintain a ban is not in sync with the facts. And then there's the other side of it, which is, you know, the thousands and thousands of people we put in jail each year who otherwise don't do anything to anybody. There's no victims in these crimes. They just happen to be in possession of a small amount of a plant, and they get charged with a felony and with, you know, everything that happens to their lives after that for the rest of their lives because they've got something on their records. And then there's the money we spend on it, all the billions of dollars enforcing something that, you know, the market still provides, the black market, but it's still relatively easy to get. Those funds could be directed in a different direction, you know, enforcing against real crime, you know, property damage and property crimes and violent crimes and things like that. Colorado, I'll just use that as another example just because it's so dramatic. Since legalization, they've raised in cannabis taxes close to $500 million, and they've been spending that in education and infrastructure and also taxation reduction for the residents of the state. So there's, you know, all the facts point to we're better off. There's a lot more upside in legalizing and regulating this than there's been in the old way that we've been doing things for decades now, which is, you know, utterly banning it.
Yeah, and you know, and everything that you said is interesting and true, especially when it comes to Colorado. We've delved into that on the show and where the money's gone, et cetera. But you and I both know it's going to be tough for Booker's legislation to go through, but at least it's a start, right? So by putting that out there, there may be more of a push, and that may gain steam, and it may eventually help something clear the way for legalization of marijuana. But realistically, what do you think it's going to take for that to happen?
Going to take some time. You know, as it is right now, Congress, this month, Congress is going to vote on a marijuana measure. It voted on it early in the year, and it's going to vote on it again because it votes on it every 6 months or so. And that is a measure that has been in effect for a few years now, where they tell, you know, the DEA not to spend any money on marijuana enforcement for medical marijuana in states that already have it legalized and are regulating it. And then within the Department of Justice itself, there's a thing called the Cole Memo. It's not legally binding. It could the Cole Memo could change at any time, but, you know, the Department of Justice is basically not going after these businesses so long, you know, if they're complying with state law and they're not doing something really egregious like selling the minors or something like that. Department of Justice has been holding back. So we've got a de facto situation where at the federal level, you know, not a whole lot is being done on the enforcement side in these states. And, you know, now we're seeing these bills to introduce some sort of legalization measure. Booker's isn't the only one. Senator Sanders, I believe, had one, and there's been others. And so it's gaining steam. And the real driving force behind all this is public opinion. You know, the polls have support for medical somewhere in the neighborhood of 90%. I've seen polls that high.
Yeah.
And even on recreational, we've got, you know, close to 70% of the people think, hey, we should just legalize this and regulate it and tax it like we do with alcohol.
Yeah.
So sooner or later, that's going to, you know, that's going to, there's going to be a change in the law. And sooner or later, that's going to happen. So
yeah, I agree.
It's a matter of time.
It's a time thing. Okay, so as I said, you're an expert on, you know, when we talk about stocks and analyzing it, and your newsletter, as I mentioned, was Penny Pot Profits. Tell us about that. So what do you mean by that? What kind of stocks are we talking about? They got to be, some of them would have to be growing, I would think, pardon the pun.
Yeah, so these are companies that are available on the stock market. There's a number of them. That are involved in the exploding marijuana industry in some way, shape, or form. It's estimated this industry is about $7 billion right now in the U.S., which is nothing to sneeze at. But by 2020, it'll be up over $22 or $23 billion. That's a lot of growth in just 3 years. To put that in perspective, that's bigger than the National Football League, which is a huge business. So there's a lot of these companies, some of them, yes, they're growers. Others are companies that are distributors. There are companies that, you know, take the marijuana plant and turn it into other products like oils, extracts, edibles, and things like that. You know, there's companies that produce devices for use with marijuana. Then there's companies that don't, you know, touch the plant at all, that they might supply growing mediums and fertilizers or, you know, they might be marketing companies, they might be IT companies, they might be security companies, and things like that. And they're all, you know, on the outer edge of what's the core of the business, which is the plant itself. And with all of this growth and states going legal, you know, these stocks can move really fast. I mean, the average marijuana stock is up over 300% over the past year.
Wow.
A lot of that has to do with votes that took place in a lot of states in November last year. As you know, more than half a dozen states had votes. And, you know, my own state here in Florida, they're legalizing medical right now. And they're licensing. And so that's underway. And other states like Nevada just went, had its change, and they went legal in July. And, you know, the stuff has been flying. I mean, they ran out of supply within days of July 1st when it became legal over there. So there's an opportunity here. Really, it's ground floor. I mean, a market going from zero to hero in a matter of days, weeks, or months. And
wow,
there's potential for large gains. And that's what we do in Penny Pot Profit. We identify some of those fast-moving stocks for our readers.
Yeah, they're moving fast. I love it. Ray Blanco, thank you so much for joining us. And again, it's Penny Pot Profits. Check out that newsletter. Thank you.
Thank you.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.